kind of bring everything coherently together as best I can. You know me, that may not happen. But our desire is to have shared who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us, and then to recognize that that he's the only way, he's the one. And so hopefully that's been done. We will sing one more song at the end of the service, just to, again, recognize the love that God has for us. I don't know if you saw the T-shirts. Why don't all you teens stand up and, you don't not stand up. I mean, yeah, come on up. Just stand up, turn around. And it says what? Swag, right? Now, a few years ago, and I have to tell this story because it's like a, yes, Shanna, Kim goes, Shanna made the T-shirt, so everybody give Shanna a hand if she's, I don't know if she's here, but she did a great job, and they actually fit, so, which was my concern. But anyway, even Jesse, we even got one big enough for Jess, but swag means saved with amazing grace, and we had a contest with all these different youth group names. Believe it or not, one of the youth group names we thought was going to have like three C's and a K in it. So instead of like swag, we were going to ask everyone to call the youth group. And that was very popular among the kids, you know. But I thought, nah, we got to do something different than that, from that. But years ago, Kim and I were running a youth group, and swag was a word that was out there. I'm not even sure exactly what it means. Probably most of you do, but it's connected to the word swagger, you know, which I would just a shortened version of that. Which I would say, you know, is kind of a prideful kind of thing. But anyway, someone has swag, someone has this swag and stuff. And we were told by the kids in our youth group that we were, Kim and I at that time, were too old to use the term swag. So so this is to get back at those kids who have no idea that this is happening, but I feel like we vindicated something somewhere along the line. There, swag to you. So, all right. So, of course, when I was told I couldn't use swag, that was like used every other word, you know? Swaggity, swag, swag, swag. So, anyway. Let's get to our scripture this morning. We're looking at Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us in our understanding of your word. Grow us through it and by it. May your spirit work in a mighty way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul here is saying, and his plan is to go to Rome, and he's saying, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. We live in a culture that's in many ways very similar to the pagan culture that the Apostle Paul was dealing with, and especially he was going to the center of it, going to Rome, where the man, the ruler, wanted to be worshipped as God, where there were pagan temples and off pagan offerings all around. And Paul is going into the middle of that with the gospel of Jesus Christ and with the message that sin is a real thing and God judges. And so Paul is saying here, I am not ashamed because it's the only way of salvation. And this is the message that pagan, unbelieving Rome needs to hear. Acts 4:12 says, and there is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, for there is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. In John 3:18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So I guess the question is, and what we've been trying to get into the minds of the young people is, what is the gospel? What is the gospel, and what do I have to believe? 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." And we find in Romans, again, in chapter 6, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Again, the concept is that we are all sinners. We've all sinned. We've all disobeyed God in one way or another. And the concept that we've used in our youth ministries here, and the way that we describe sin, is anything that we think, say, or do that displeases God or makes him sad. And so it doesn't have to be something that we're, you know, active in. We can just simply be thinking about it, and we can be sinning quietly in our minds. And God knows, and that's still sin. And it's missing the mark. And the wages of sin is death. But God has a free gift in Jesus Christ, and that's eternal life. The idea of the gospel and of what Paul is talking about here, and what we want to share with you this morning, is that the gospel is effective to save. In fact, it's the only effective way to save. There are folks out there who believe wholeheartedly that there are a myriad of ways to get into heaven. Just innumerable ways to get into heaven. But the Bible is clear that the only way into heaven, the only way to the Father, is through the Son, Jesus Christ. The nature of the salvation, of the actual truth of salvation here, is to be understood by the nature of the gospel. In other words, we need to know what the gospel is in order to understand what our salvation is. It's a deliverance from sin. It's a deliverance from its punishment. And it's a receiving of eternal life and many blessings that God wants to pour down upon us. This is what no method of men's devising can effect. No effort of human wisdom, no human power could create for any human being. This is exclusively a work of God. It is the message of Christ crucified, dead, buried, and risen, which, having been believed, is then the power of God. So Paul here is not saying so much, "I am not ashamed because I have created this boldness in my speaking." It's not so much that. It's actually about the power of God and the message that he is preaching, that he is sharing. It's his total confidence in that message. It's not that he could go out and speak about anything, although I'm sure he was a fine orator and could have done that. It's about the fact that the gospel is the power of God. My son Noah and I were discussing this verse, and he said something like, "You know, when you believe the gospel, it should be a no-brainer to believe the rest of the Bible." And I said, "Well, that's pretty good theology, you know? When you believe the gospel and you've truly received Christ, it should be a no-brainer to believe the rest of the Bible. When the power of God that brings salvation occurs, just think about it. The power of God, the creator of the universe, the one who holds everything together by his word, when the power of God invades your life and brings salvation, think about it. You have just been transformed from the penalty of sin's punishment into the promise of eternal life and a right relationship with God. It's an amazing concept. And we shouldn't stand back then and look at Scripture. If we believe the gospel and when we believe the gospel, shouldn't look at Scripture and go, well, yeah, I kind of believe that and I don't believe this. And God, maybe God did that. Maybe it happened that way. I don't know. God has just changed you, fundamentally changed you from someone who is going to suffer the punishment, the penalty of death, and moved you into eternal life. Pastor talked about the Holy Spirit and the Spirit coming in and comes in and baptizes you. In other words, immerses you, fills you. That word baptized was used in the manufacturing of cloth, and how the dyes that would permeate every single fiber of that cloth, that's what the Holy Spirit does when the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit comes in and permeates every single fiber of your being. And so when we recognize that all of Scripture, it comes from God, then it should be, as Noah said, a no-brainer to believe the rest of Scripture. 1 John chapter 5 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. John 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scriptures God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. These young people have declared today that they believe in the total sufficiency of the gospel message. Therefore, there's nothing to be ashamed of. False teachers and world religions that declare anything other than the pure gospel of Christ, they should be ashamed. And they will be ashamed when they stand before their judge. Proverbs 25:14 states that a person who promises a gift but doesn't give it is like clouds and wind that bring no rain. You ever been there? When it's dry and you're like, oh, some clouds on the horizon, they're coming our way. Yeah, the wind is building, we're going to get some rain, and my